This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're tuned into The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. Founded in 2015, Qasim is a one-stop shop for car buyers and sellers, providing a full stack of selling solutions from inspection all the way to ownership transfer. They currently operate in Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, and Singapore, and deal in over 40,000 cars annually worth over $300 million. The startup says it reached profitability in Malaysia last year, and it aims to be operationally profitable in Indonesia and Thailand by the end of this year. Now, fresh off a $50 million round of funding and the hiring of their first CFO, I speak to Eric Cheng, co-founder and CEO of Qasim, to get a gauge of where this local startup is driving to and what they're going to do with this newly raised $50 million. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Hi, thanks. Very happy to be here.
So, Eric, before we get into the nitty-gritty and all the financial details, who is this platform geared towards?
So, initially, we designed the platform to help car sellers to sell their cars. And naturally, these cars are selling in a virtual auction system. And the buyers are all coming from everywhere in the country, and they all use car dealers. So, that allowed the entire process to be done within a few hours and easily one of the most convenient way to sell your car. So, and of course, subsequently, we now branch out to do a lot more stuff within the industry.
Yeah, I'm guessing with $50 million, there's a lot of other things that you can expand into, but we'll get into that a little later. Speaking of money, how do you make money currently?
So from the seller's standpoint, we don't charge anything. We only take a fee from the buyers whenever a transaction is successfully due. So this is basically the fees that incur whenever a transaction is done, and that's our revenue model.
So that is the, when you talk about a buyer here, you're talking about the used car dealer that's bidding for the car.
That's correct.
And the transaction fee, is that a flat rate? Does that change with the type of vehicle that's being purchased?
Yeah, it's determined by the price of the car. So it's on a tier base and it's flat.
Okay. And so how does this work? A private individual sells the car to you and then you take it to the auction platform where used car dealers bid for the car. Is that pretty much, do I have the concept right?
Correct. So we welcome any type of cars from private to corporate cars, even car fleet companies. So we deal with everybody who has a need to dispose. And when it comes to the buyers, these are all the used car dealers, right? So in between, we input the process of inspection, ownership transfer, payment, and even the auction is done online. So, which means that from one point, say in Kuala Lumpur, you could sell your car all the way to, say, even Sarawak, Sarawak, for example.
So, generally, I would guess the business model for used cars dealers is to buy as low as they can, right? And then to sell as high as they can, then get the margin in between. How do you fit in that business model then?
So, because the platform is operating in an online environment, so it allows a very fair competition among all the used car dealer who has an interest to buy your car. And moreover, the dealers that are buying cars are coming from everywhere. So in a nutshell, you're getting the best price in the country. So and what we do is to make sure that this entire process can be done within a few hours. So very unlike, you know, some of the other platforms where you only get a lead to someone want to test drive your car or maybe understanding like the car condition or whatnot, we actually carry through the entire process to let everyone know that you are in a transparent environment to deal with your car.
So we're talking about transparency. Now, you've advocated that Qasim wants to represent trust and transparency and that you're trying to challenge the, quote here, opaque and inefficient middle parties that exploit the misinformation in the market. Who are these middle parties?
I think these are like pretty much the individual brokers. So traditionally, the market, because it lacks the transparency, so it's being, a very broker-centric market. So as a platform with Qasim, I think what we are able to innovate in as an industry is to create a standard for both the pricing of each and every car and also the car condition, the inspection, right? So I think these two are the kind of services that in any other individual brokers market or people that deal with, they could not actually give you accurate information. So we wanted to, want to be able to, you know, do that with the market between the sellers and buyers.
So transparency and trust seems to be an important part of your brand. The dealers have to trust you to give them good cars, essentially, and the sellers have to trust you to give them a fair value for their vehicle that they're selling to you. And in all this, it sounds like you're becoming the new middle party. What are you doing to make sure that you are transparent?
So the entire auction process is open to the sellers and also the buyers. So we don't dictate how the price is being pushed up in the auction system, or whether the condition of the car is being influenced by some of the decision that we want to get this deal closed as quickly as possible. So everything, we let the platform, the auction itself, to be the decider of, or should I say, between the supply and demand, let them decide what would be the right price for the car. So as a platform, I think we cultivate a transparent environment. So we want to always keep to that and make sure that we don't dictate any or influence any decision-making between the process. So that's basically how we do it compared to, say, an individual broker in the market.
So you don't influence the prices when it comes to the cars?
Yeah, because after all, we take a fee on each and every car, and it's fixed and it's all listed in the platform.
So beyond being the middleman here, what value do you bring to the industry, the automotive industry overall?
I think we digitalize the entire process of trading. If you look at existing businesses within the car industry, there's very little platform or services that enable you to be a lot more digital, right? So a lot of dealing or trading environment are still exist in the offline manner, whereas for us is we try to bring a lot of this and integrate into an online environment. And why we do that is because it brings efficiency, it brings speed and transparency as well, right? So with a lot of this in mind, beyond just being a car trading platform, we now offer some other services to cater for the entire trading environment, as there's like financing, the insurance, warranty even for cars. And these are the things that is pretty essential to build an even more trustable trading process for used car, which a lot of times, if you look at the new car industry, it's already there.
Right. So a big part of this I'm hearing is that basically you're the new kid on the block. You bring a very digital element, which is something that we hear in other legacy businesses and industries. Now, a big problem with a lot of those businesses currently is that they don't make a profit, or at least they're still in the growing phase. But you're saying you're profitable. So let's talk about business then. How is business going in Malaysia, Thailand and Indonesia?
Yeah, I think these are the three key markets we focus on. And so far, we are doing great in terms of scaling the business and the traction. And take Malaysia, for example, is the earliest that we have started. And we are operationally profitable in Malaysia. And we started Indonesia and Thailand 12 months after the inception in Malaysia. And right now, we are pushing these two countries to be profitable by the end of the year.
Yeah. So what are the biggest challenges with Indonesia and Thailand? Why haven't they breached profitability yet?
So it's an attractive market, huge, but in terms of market dynamic, it might be slightly different. I think given the fact that also it takes a bit of time for us to understand the market, the culture, the mindset of buying and selling. So a lot of penetration and focus now is being shifted towards these two countries as compared to before we were trying to make Malaysia as the market leader. So I think that is taking it one step at a time, right, to make sure that we have one country done right and continue to replicate that playbook into like the other countries, which now would be Indonesia and Thailand.
So what's the difference in strategy then? Are you able to replicate the playbook, or do you have to change it when it comes to Indonesia and Thailand?
So far, we're seeing the result. I think one observation we saw is to really utilize local talent to help us execute things on the ground, like offline initiative, operations, and so on. I think secondly, also, these two countries are a lot more mobile-driven compared to Malaysia, whereas in Malaysia, there's a lot of people still prefer using a laptop to browse for informations, whereas in these two countries, like they're basically skipping one generation to just go fully mobile. Yeah, and they have one of the highest penetration in terms of subscriber for mobile in the world as well. So naturally, when we design our product, is to also first understand where the platform, where the users should will be, and we will put our product focus in those areas.
So how valuable is the Malaysian market to you? Is there a number that you have?
So it's huge. I think Malaysia used car market is about 500,000 on an annual basis. It's always, of course, a market that we think that with our solution, it help the entire trading process. So by our definition, I think right now our penetration is around 7% of the entire market. So hopefully by this year, end of this year, we could double that and reach a critical mass. But if you look at Indonesia and Thailand, obviously they are much bigger car market, just the sheer size of more human population, right? And you're looking at maybe 4 to 5 times of the car volume a year. And it has huge potential room to grow because in terms of car ownership per 1,000 capital, they're only at about 100 to 200, whereas Malaysia is about 450 per 1,000 capital. So definitely these three markets is always the key focus. and Malaysia is where our home ground is.
Right now, you're saying you have 7% of a 500,000 used car market in Malaysia, and you want to double that to 14%.
Easily, yes. Yeah.
And Indonesia and Thailand offer 4 or 5 times the market size.
The market size, yes. Yeah.
So what's the burn rate that Thailand and Indonesia are costing you to? I mean, it's a very big market, very attractive, but I'm sure it's costing you some money.
Definitely costing us some money. But I think that the key component on the burn would be on the marketing side. So as long as you control your marketing well, I think that should be fine in terms of narrowing down the burn. So, and we have seen that happening in Malaysia. And in fact, in Indonesia and Thailand, our focus is always on building a strong foundation. So which means that we make sure that in terms of the people, the centers, the services that we provide is good. And only subsequently we would plan our marketing campaigns to attract more users. So and myself, I came from a marketing background prior to starting Carsem. So we always control this in a manner that we think we're not spending too much, but just enough to bring back investment.
Okay. And so on this point, what's going to be the biggest challenge for you this year?
I think really finding the quality talent to help us generate or execute the business strategy. Like I mentioned earlier, when it goes to expanding in Indonesia, Thailand, even Philippines, for example, and even Malaysia, there's a lot of things that we're doing right now is pretty new to most people out there, which makes it harder for us to identify talent who has been there, done that, and bring on their expertise to help us execute. So in other words, we are finding it difficult to help to find good people that we are confident to bring them on board, which is something that we've been always trying. It's always a challenge, and I think right now we started to attract more and more quality talent, not just within the region but also outside of the region. I think that is something that we hope that can be tackled for this year.
All right. And on that note, we're going to talk about your latest employee and your first CFO, where you're going to spend that 50 million and competition in the industry. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan. This morning, I'm speaking to Eric Chang, the co-founder and CEO of Carsem. Now, Eric, we've talked a lot about the business as it is today and where it could go. Before we talk about expansion, though, let's talk about your competition, because I've noticed lately that iCar Asia has been making significant moves in the region. Lately, I think very recently, they acquired Carmudi, which is basically a startup in Indonesia, which has doubled their presence there. How does this bode for your presence in Indonesia?
Oh, I think so far the market is extremely huge, right? So, and actually a lot of these players in the used car market, we are all trying different things to help bring this more efficient, or should I say more efficiencies in the industry to build a better infrastructure. So so far I don't see it as really a competition, but rather all of us are trying to cultivate that environment and eventually make it a lot less traditional.
In a way, working together to grow that market, because right now you're talking about that 7% penetration rate in Malaysia, which is a tiny portion of the used car market.
Yeah, so it's still very, very early stage. It's just like how people would look at e-commerce versus retail in the 5 to 10 years ago. And the question is not really how e-commerce are competing with each other, but rather how retail would be able to sustain or retain their market share within that industry, right? So that's how we are thinking about the industry for used car.
So then who's the real competition for you then?
I think the real competition is the traditional mindset of how this industry should be done on the trading environment. So, and I think that's how we want to change that. And it's not just us, like there's a few more platforms that does similar things or different things even that's trying to do this, digitalize the industry. And any industry in the world is bound to be digitalized, bound to be improved better. And I think this is something that's happening.
And to be clear, the used car dealers aren't your competition. They're your customers.
Oh, no. So we are actually empowering them. So of all people, they are one of the biggest target audience that we partner with mostly because to them, we are supplying quality inventory to them on a daily basis and in extremely large volume compared to an individual broker. Maybe you can just submit like 5 to 10 cars without an inspection report of it. So for us, they're very happy to work with us. They see us as solving one of their pain points and be very focused in selling cars instead to car buyers, which is their main core business.
So it's the brokers that you've primarily displaced then?
I would say so, yeah.
Now, just going back to the iCar and the acquisition, that signals a certain level of aggressiveness in the region that they're coming in. Because iCar is an Australian-based startup, I think, and they're looking at this region as well. There's a lot of money to be made in this industry, in this region. Are you at all concerned about their presence in the region itself?
I'm not really concerned. In fact, I'm happy to have them or anyone, because if you look at the used car industry or what we are doing, what iCar is mostly really thrive at is on the classified environment. So which means finding exposure, finding car buyers for the used car dealers or sellers. Whereas us, we are very focused on the transactional side of things, helping you to identify the car condition, getting the ownership transfer from you to the buyers, and even now doing financing, insurance, and warranty, which all of these are the pain points that we felt should be tackled, and that's how we designed the platform. So not exactly on the same type of service, but rather the same industry.
Yeah, but Carlos is going into the bidding process as well, right?
Yeah. So they have the bidding process as well. So that's one of their product, yeah.
So you're confident that in your other products to really to differentiate you from the rest of the competition?
I believe the extension of some of our services right now would make it a more complete product to the sellers and the buyers.
And you know, with a business like this, I'm guessing scale is very important, because the wider your scale, the more access you have to cars. Do you see consolidation in this industry happening anytime soon?
Oh, it's already happening. Like if you look at Carousell, just do a merger with 701, which consists of Muda in the portfolio. So and we are actually also in talks with some of the existing players within the market to explore not just M&A, but at the same time collaboration between platforms. So these are some of the things that we see that's happening, largely due to bigger platforms now are growing even bigger. And of course, the smaller players couldn't really keep up in terms of the burn, say, for example, or scalability. So I think for us is we are seeing ourselves accumulating more and more data from the actual transactional price. So we know, like, for example, one car, how much it should be priced, even for, say, in the next 2 and 3 months. So with that kind of understanding on how to optimize your data capability in pricing and condition of the car, it helps you brings up your conversion. And in turn, it, of course, it benefits the sellers and buyers. So I believe this is one of the strongest advantage within when compared against us with other platforms.
So that's partnerships. You briefly mentioned acquisitions possibly. Is that something on the cards?
Yeah, so we are always exploring, and we've been doing that for the past 6 to 12 months. So some of those could be in Malaysia, some of them actually outside of Malaysia, like for example, places in Indonesia. And I think we are actively pursuing that option.
Okay, and I guess it doesn't hurt that you've got that fresh new round of funding, that $50 million to help you boost this. So fresh off that new round of funding, you've got your first CFO to manage the funds. Julia Zhu brings with her a background in venture capital and as well as strategic investments. I think M&A is a part of her portfolio before. Does this signal a more aggressive expansion ahead for you?
Yes, 2020 will be a big year for us. And actually, Juliet is an old friend that we know for about 2 to 3 years. So she's been tracking the business, following the industry very well. And she also knows that the car industry, how it has been evolving in some of the other regions out there. So I think with her on board, it actually helped not just ease out the capital management portion, but at the same time, apply a very strategic mind to it, some of the things that we are going to do. Right. And I think that helps a lot with like this new leadership team now starting to take shape, including the other CMO and CTO that we hired a few months ago.
So what are you going to be using the new money for?
A lot of it are being invested we are investing in areas to improve, in particular R&D. So and actually we are setting, or should I say we are enlarging the tech capability of the business by not just hiring from local in Malaysia, but also exploring some of the other cities out there. Because I think, as I mentioned, talent is always a challenge. And we find that sometimes it might make sense for the business to hire from out country. Yeah, because after all, I think we have big plans aggressive one, and we want to realize that within 12 months, and we need to make sure that we hire enough people to do that. Secondly, also one of the big push this year would be helping the dealers to sell cars to the car buyers, right? So we've been helping car sellers, individual car sellers, and now we want to go into we go one full circle, providing inventory quality ones to car buyers as well. And by doing that, we also be able to bring in the investors came in for this round, like MUFG, so they can provide financings, the insurance, even warranty. So see, some of this plan is to really make sure that when, you know, one person is selling the car, we are able to track the condition of it and being able to report as well to the car buyers and subsequently have a warranty to make sure that you have an ease of mind when purchasing a used car.
So this expansion in R&D, is it just in the current product lineup or are we looking at new products coming up?
So some of that has already been launched, like financing. We have been doing this for about 6 to 9 months now. And also we're starting to offer insurance to some of the cars that we sold to the dealers. And I think down the road is we would scale all of these services for every car that we sold through the platform. And hopefully with the B2C platform or a direct-to-consumer brand being launched in the later part of this year, that will also help increase more and more awareness for good used car, quality used cars.
So break that down for me. What kind of direct-to-consumer offering is that?
So for every car that we sold through the platform, and we because we inspect every car that gone through, we will know the car condition, and that gives confidence on what kind of cars that you're buying. And I think in the market right now, it's a bit hard to identify if the car that you have bought, in particular used car, whether it's accident free. Or if there's any faulty issues before the repair, for example. So there's no really proper service record for the used car. And I think with our inspection capability, it helped achieve that. And we want to be able to use that to carry through the entire cycle of a used car buying and selling, right? And with that, then in the market, when you are buying a used car, you're not just looking for a used car that suits your interest or what you're looking to buy, but at the same time, you're buying a used car that you know exactly the condition, the history, and even at the right price.
And this is still done by the used car dealers, but powered by Carsome, is that right?
Exactly, yeah. So it's like you walk into a dealership and you will see cars that are being certified by Carsome. I think this is what we are trying to create as an environment.
And so this is something we can look forward to in 2020?
Definitely.
All right, so with this, all of this is building towards a much larger product. And in the longer term, what's the game plan here? Are you yourself and the initial team looking to, are you guys going to hold on to this company?
So we've been really focused, right, like to help build the infrastructure, the technology within the used car industry. And as of right now, I think that's still very much in our mind to build that foundation. So it's the fifth year now. And I think our vision, the plan, whether it's a single country or in a regional standpoint, it hasn't changed much. So a lot of it is really being poured towards like investing in the right area. So far, what we can define is we still we're very interested in building a very strong ecosystem that is effective, efficient, transparent, and people will see it as an industry that they like, right? So that's how we are thinking about the next few years.
So no thoughts on IPO at all?
Yeah, so it's a timing. I think for now, it's not really in the card, but maybe in the future.
Maybe after Thailand and Indonesia become profitable?
Yeah, maybe that and yeah, leadership.
And on that note, Eric, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much.
I was speaking to Eric Chang, co-founder and CEO of Carsome. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.